Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
All right. Hey, this is Edge of Indy. And if you haven't come across Indy today, or even last week or the week before, any number of the shows before, if you haven't come across it, let me tell you what Edge of Indy is all about. It's about focusing on local Indianapolis entrepreneurs and innovators, marketing new ideas, what's trending inside of Indianapolis. And we feature great business growth, creative agencies, tech scene, modern culture scenes in Indianapolis. And you know, it's about what's happening in the world of business and charity in Indianapolis. So it's about choosing local, right? And yes. And focusing on Indianapolis. And that's what Edge of Indy is all about. So welcome to the show. Welcome back, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me back, Aaron.
You're more than welcome.
It's week by week.
What's the buzz about today in the office?
We have Kate with us, and she is the keeper of bees. What's the buzz in the office? Yeah, yeah. I'm going to the Bon Jovi concert tonight, so hate all you want. It's fine.
Hey, you know what? Everybody has that one thing, right? Right.
Yeah,
you probably have a few things, but
bees a bad name. Not good.
Yeah, so there's that. We would love to introduce you to Kate Frensman of Bee Public. Kate, how are you doing today?
I am great. Thank you.
Kate, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome. So bees, huh?
Yeah.
Bees. Yes, bees.
Well, let's hive right in. Ugh. Yes.
That's a new one.
It was untried.
I asked for it. I named my whole entire project is a bee pun.
That's right.
Bee Public.
Right.
So I stepped right into that
one. We've got a few more loaded up. So tell us about what Bee Public's mission is.
Sure. So Bee Public started about 5 years ago. And the mission of the project is to raise awareness about honeybees and other pollinators, mm-hmm. Why they're so important, why they're in trouble, and ways that we can help, mm-hmm. really easy ways that we can help every day. So the focus is youth education. I talk to kids about bees, why you shouldn't be scared, why bees are so helpful, all the foods that bees make possible, mm-hmm. and just really cool facts about bees. Their society is intriguing and mystifying at times, and that's really fun for all ages to learn about. And I also have beehives scattered around town, and they're in fairly public, high-traffic areas. So, for example, I have one at the along the Monon Trail at the Public Greens restaurant.
Right.
So right there, thousands of people are going by all the time. And you can stop along the side of the Monon Trail.
Nope.
And from a very safe distance, you can watch the bees doing their thing. And a lot of people don't ever interact with a beehive. They're usually hidden away. So this is a great chance to see something you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah, I would stay very far away.
Yeah,
actually, yeah.
I'm not
a big fan of bees or things that fly that would like want to sting me or hurt me.
Well, that's the thing. Honeybees don't want to sting you. They only do it as a last resort.
Last resort?
Yeah, if they sting you they die.
You leave her? Yeah. Yeah, nope.
It's gonna be a long show.
It's very long.
It's gonna be
so
a long
much eye
one.
Rolling.
No, right?
Well, I mean, it's an incredible. It's great to be able to see an advocate for education in any space. I mean, the bees have been underserved, right?
Mm-hmm.
And literally, there's so many connections that children need to have with education to nature. And more, the children are just unplugged. Well, they're plugged in.
Yeah.
But to the wrong things, and they're not outplaying the way they were 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? There's so many needs for inroads back into and get them out of the house, away from the computer, mm-hmm. you know, off the couch, and get them back in. And what you're doing is essential because, I mean, maybe some of these kids have never experienced bees before.
Right. And specifically, when you're talking about bees, when I was a kid, I would run around and accidentally step on a bee and there was more of a danger of getting stung, there are not as many bees around anymore. So when kids are outside today, they're not necessarily going to interact with insects that they might accidentally step on way that we used to. And when they do, it's more of a surprise.
Right.
Huh. Oh, when did you decide that you had a love for bees?
I've always
been, I have to know this.
Always been fascinated by all the creepy crawly things, I guess you might put them in that category. But I have a habit also, I think it's two things. Nature is fascinating to me, always has been. I grew up out free range kid running around outside. But also I have a tendency to get involved in maybe dangerous hobbies. Mm-hmm. I used to play roller derby.
No.
So I think it's those two things combined. And I don't think beekeeping is dangerous.
We need a little, she needs a little thing that says Danger Kate.
Really nice. But about 5 or 6 years ago, just before the project started, I mean, I really put the cart before the horse when I started Bee Public. I started talking about bees before I ever had a beehive.
Really?
I was asked to speak at one of the dig-ins. 5 years ago, mm-hmm. And about 30 people showed up, and I was just talking things I'd learned on the internet and reading about bees, trying to spread that message. So I was really fascinated with the sort of urban homesteading, backyard farming trend that was happening, but very conscious of the environmental justice aspect of bees. Mm-hmm. A third of our food comes from bees and other pollinators. When they visit the flowers, they're collecting nectar. They turn that nectar into their food, which is honey. Not everybody knows that bees eat the honey that they make.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
That's their food source.
Okay.
So when we as beekeepers, and I actually don't harvest the honey for my bees for that reason. I decided not to. I decided I'll just let them keep it. They work so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But when beekeepers hopefully responsibly, take honey from the hive, they need to leave enough for the bees so that they can survive. Mm-hmm. If they don't, then they could lose that hive. So it's something to keep in mind. If you ever become a beekeeper, don't get too honey crazy. Don't be a Pooh Bear.
I'm more of a piglet than a Pooh Bear.
I'm somewhat of a Tigger. No, I'm probably an Eeyore. Sorry.
There's an
entire squirrel right there.
Ooh, yeah.
So from an education standpoint, we just don't know even the basics.
No,
there's a lot of misinformation. The first thing I do when I talk to kids and adults is let them know that we don't really need to be scared of honeybees coming after us.
Right.
They only sting as a last resort when they feel they need to protect their babies, when they need to protect their food. We would do the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. If someone came after us.
Right.
Yeah. Then when they sting, the female worker bees are the ones with stingers. When they sting, they
kind
die. Well, they do all the chores in the hive. They have stingers that are barbed, so they stay behind. If they get stuck in your skin or an animal's fur, they stay behind. And when they separate from the bee's body, she dies.
She has a little
blood. Yeah,
she brought a bee, everybody.
She brought a bee.
This is my demo bee that I take in the classrooms, pass around. You get a really good idea of what a honeybee looks like up close. But that's obviously much bigger than a regular honeybee.
Now, is it true when they sting you and they leave the stinger behind, they die?
That's right. They die almost immediately.
Oh,
Male bees do not have stingers. They also don't do any chores inside the hive.
Sounds like a normal guy.
They're called drones, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The queen, she's the mother of all the bees in the hive. Mm-hmm. She does have a stinger that is not barbed, so she can actually sting more than once, but she does not come outside the hive, so you don't need to be worried about the queen like coming after you.
Ever, never.
She comes out one time. Mm-hmm. She comes out on her mating flight, mm-hmm. and she visits this bees, the drones, the male bees, mm-hmm. they, because they're not doing chores inside the hive, they go and they kind of hang out together during the day, waiting for queens to come visit. So it's kind of like...
This is so much like real life.
I know.
It's kind of freaking me out.
There are a lot of parallels.
Yeah.
for sure. So the drones are hanging out. It's kind of like just... this little nightclub where they're all waiting for the queens to come and visit. So the
when will she be around?
Yeah.
When will the queen be there?
Yep. That's a double B. That was a triple B on top. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
That was like a skipping stones. You know that. All right.
So the queen will mate with quite a few, like a dozen drones from other hives, genetic diversity. And then she comes back to the hive and she stays there for her whole life, which is 2 to 3 years, depending on how healthy she is.
Wow.
Yeah. So she lives a lot longer than the other bees. The female worker bees, their lifespan is an average of like a month. Depending.
Your kid, really?
Yeah, they are working so hard. They work themselves to death to make that honey.
Yes.
Which
to
is
make that
honey.
Money. Right.
Mo honey, yeah. More problems.
Mo honey, mo problems. Man, we are having
going off the rails here.
this is so fun.
So you're installing hives regularly across all of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. How many have you installed so far?
Oh, over the seasons, probably a dozen to 15. Not many. The places where I put hives are strategic. I want people to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hive on top of Eskenazi Hospital at the Sky Farm.
Cool.
One along the Monon Trail. Couple downtown. I would love to put a beehive at the racetrack.
Oh yeah,
someplace
that would
unexpected.
Be super cool.
I'm working with the IMA this summer to help them manage their hives. They have a couple beehives. They're right by the greenhouse, so you can, as you're walking around the grounds of the IMA, you can stop and see if you know where they are.
Uh-huh.
Stop and see the bees. So
fantastic!
It's they're meant to be seen. They're in places where people will hopefully stop and become more curious and less. Freaked out.
Just for everybody's nature, it's completely safe to be around these mm-hmm. hives, right? And they're self-contained,
mm-hmm.
right? They're just there for observation. They're there mm-hmm. so you can check out and be able to see what's happening here and understand this tiny ecosystem,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Do you have any other information or literature there that they can take away?
You know, there is a sign that is next to the one along the Monon Trail that has some facts about bees. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that I was just talking about to you, which is honeybees are gentle mm-hmm. unless provoked, and you really do have to like go up and get in their face.
Make them mad.
For them to even think about trying to sting you. In fact, a lot of times, I've never had anyone get stung around my hive. I'm the only one that ever gets stung. And that's only because
I wonder why.
Literally taking the roof off
right.
their house and
yeah.
getting in there. I get stung maybe twice a year, not very often.
That's it?
And
really?
I get asked that a lot. How many times have you been stung? A couple times a year. Not often. I'm usually wearing my bee suit, so you know the white suit with mm-hmm. the thing and it zips up. And mm-hmm. so I'm protected. I have gloves. I usually don't wear the whole suit. So mm-hmm. I just wear blue jeans and it's not an issue. Bees are pretty, they're pretty much cool, especially the more I visit
that
the
one.
Hive.
Oh,
right?
Yeah
like
something,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the more you visit a hive, the more your bees actually get used to the way they
really?
Smell.
I was going to ask if mm-hmm. they kind of got used to you.
They do.
That's wild.
Yeah. So if you, and I've done this before where I got a little bold and approached a hive that wasn't mine, and right away the bees will come out. They send out two or three guard bees, and they will kind of push you away before they even think about stinging again.
Really?
They don't want to sting you. It's a last resort because they'll die. So they know.
Wow.
That is cool.
That is really cool.
So, I mean, these are front lines for education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are you looking for any sponsorships or any corporate help to be able to get the word out?
So I've got partnerships right now that work very well. Like I said, with the IMA and Eskenazi
and
Patichou and more partnerships along those lines where there's an opportunity to place a hive in a very public area,
mm-hmm.
an opportunity to educate people, kids and adults at public greens during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We do a first Friday on the farm and you can have a farm to table dinner right there outside public greens and
mm-hmm.
then come get a tour of the farm and talk about bees and their importance. And it
do
all ties together with the food.
Do they advertise that or do you push? Who pushes
that
out?
Yeah, you can find that on public greens, Patichou.
Okay.
They have tickets on Eventbrite, I think, for that every summer. And it's every month during the summer. On
really?
First Fridays,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a really neat event.
So
really
you've done a lot of classroom presentations.
Mm-hmm.
You've also done a student-made honey art exhibit?
Yeah, so was that 2 years ago? We, myself and I partnered with Earth Charter Indiana
mm-hmm.
and the Arts Council, and we put together this in the Arts Garden at the mall downtown, we put mm-hmm. together this art exhibit where a dozen classrooms throughout the state made 3D art sculptures of bees using recycled materials. So there were no parameters except for the size, so we could hang them from strings around so it looked like there were bees floating around everywhere.
Cool.
We got hundreds of sculptures, and they were in there. Actually, if you go to the arts garden and you look around, you can still see a few of them hanging in the trees.
Oh, that's cool.
But, you know, kids got creative. They used paper cups and styrofoam and things that would normally get thrown away, mouse pads and battery packs. And I think my favorite was someone took a film canister and just put little wings on the side, and that was the bee, and it was so perfect. I think art is an important component of any project, especially when you're talking about the environment.
Speaking of art, there's an absence of a particular piece of art from a known brand of cereal now. So we noticed the Cheerios box, right? And over social media, they're removing the bee from their cereal.
Right.
What a wonderful segue that was.
I was going to say that, but I just thought I'd let you go ahead. You're doing so well.
then I stopped.
Right.
Tell us about, what's your opinion about that?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go.
We just need to sit back and listen now.
Let it rant.
It's hard. I feel two ways about it. It feels great to me that there are giant companies who are raising awareness about the decline of honeybees. We've been hearing about the decline of honeybees since about 2006. Mm-hmm. Colony collapse disorder was in the headlines. It's still an issue. Last year, I don't think the numbers have come out for 2016, but in 2015, 44% of all beehives did not survive. And if we had any other agricultural endeavor,
right,
like if 44% of all cows died, we would be going nuts.
That would not be good.
I would absolutely be upset.
Yeah.
You would be very upset.
And you would notice. But so this is a huge issue. And I'm so glad that someone like Cheerios mm-hmm. is raising awareness. And I've heard so many people in the past, couple of weeks that have said that they sent an email to get a seed packet from Cheerios. So if you don't know, Cheerios is offering to send you a free packet of seeds. And they're wildflower seeds. There are a couple of things that I wish they would do differently. I wish that they would not use chemicals in their food products.
Yeah, pretty
that
much.
Are
yeah.
bad for humans, also bad for bees. Mm-hmm. And the environment in general.
Right.
So there's that aspect to it that bugs me a little bit.
Bugs.
That was not a pun.
I caught it though.
But also I think there was a little bit of controversy because the so-called native flowers that they were giving out are not native everywhere, right? It depends on where you live.
Right.
They were just kind of all the same kinds of seeds, no matter where you live, which can be an issue in some places where they become invasive.
Right.
Big problem.
Oh, yeah.
So
they really don't know what they're doing from a...
It was a little tone deaf on their part.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
they're trying.
Their heart was in the right place.
Their heart seems to be in the right place. If you really want to plant some flowers for bees, there are so many native flowers native to Indiana that you can plant. The easiest ones by far are things like sunflowers and anything that has a nice big center, asters or calendula. You can Google. There are many local native plant organizations that would provide you a giant list. You can go to places like, I love going to the Garden Center at 71st in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little locally owned garden center. Mm-hmm. A lot of non-GMO organic seeds available there, and plants are available there. And they're so helpful, and they will help you. I recommend avoiding the big box Lowe's and Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
They oftentimes sell you seeds and plants that have systemic pesticides in them. So that just means that the pesticide is in the seed and then it's in the plant for its entire life. And so when a bee visits the pollen or the nectar on that plant, they get those chemicals.
And this completely defeats the purpose.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And a pesticide can't tell the difference between what we decide is a good and a bad bug. So all bugs are affected. Birds are water. I recommend just avoiding them.
That would be a good thing.
Well, that's pretty cool. Have you ever thought, I'm sure you have, but have you tried to communicate to Cheerios and let them know, hey, you know?
I have not. I think I've been thinking about a response. I do feel a certain responsibility as kind of blowing. I'm not a whistleblower. I guess I wouldn't use that term. But right. I do feel a certain responsibility to say, hey, this is nice. But here are some things that you can really do to help bees. Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. And just to let people know, because there was so much enthusiasm behind this, people really want their free seed packet.
Yeah,
there are a lot of ways that you can help that are more effective.
I wonder why now, though.
I am not sure why now. I do think that there, in the past few years, there's been a little trendiness to pollinators and honeybees. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been any major legislation passed recently that would make this more timely now. Mm-hmm. But I guess just the fact that it's been over 10 years and we're still seeing honeybee decline, that it would be nice. The EPA did start to study one particular kind of pesticide within a class of pesticides. Mm-hmm. They did come out and say that it is harmful to bees. It does kill bees. So mm-hmm. we're seeing some slow movement at a government level. Okay. But nothing in particular. I'm not sure. I'm happy for the
right.
awareness.
Right. Exactly.
Anything that gets people talking.
But right. I mean, right now and over the last several years, there's been such an upsurge in the non-GMO pursuits, the mm-hmm. awareness of alternatives to the, you know, the food industrial food complex. And, yeah. and so you're among a lot of different colleagues in yeah. that space. So is there, I mean, you know, everybody linked together really can make a pretty loud voice, all things considered.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think that's how it happens. And I know there's been talk recently of what will happen if the EPA goes away. What will that do to our wildlife and our environment? But really, I think what's most
the wildlife and the environment were here before the EPA.
Right. But I think people worry about that. And I someone just asked me the other day and I said, I don't think you need to worry about that. What we really need to be doing is at a local level. And we've seen that here in Indianapolis.
Right.
Last year, Mayor Hogsett made a proclamation that Indianapolis is a bee-friendly city.
Mm-hmm.
And we passed a resolution that it doesn't prohibit the use of, they're called neonicotinoid pesticides. There's a certain class.
That's a lot.
There are this certain class of pesticides that, again, this is the one the EPA is beginning to study that we know are harmful to bees.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So those are not banned in Indianapolis. Indianapolis actually follows the best practices when it comes to pesticide use. So
excellent.
Invasive species like the emerald ash borer are being mm-hmm. dealt with in a way that is more or less friendly to other pollinators. And mm-hmm. The way that we use those pesticides is almost just as important as which pesticides we use.
Mm.
And so the resolution that was passed just says we urge all departments not to use these neonicotinoid pesticides in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they're already not being used. So,
okay, so what about, I saw something you posted the other day about dandelions.
Mm.
And my husband's pet peeve is dandelions mm-hmm. in the yard. So I'm like, Kate said we really shouldn't do that.
It is. It's hard. It's a cultural thing, right?
It really
is. We love our plain green lawns
yeah.
with no dandelions. But dandelions are a great source of food for bees. If you spray them with a chemical, you might kill the bees. And so it's such an easy thing
really
to do.
I really can't have that on my
dig
head.
To not. Yeah. If you want to dig them out, you yeah. can dig them out.
Yeah.
But you could also just leave them.
Have a field of yellow.
Yeah, and the clover.
I know.
Just leave
I
it.
Just, yeah. I don't know.
It's hard.
Mr. D is not a fan at all. Maybe I can get the side yards. Maybe mm-hmm. we can keep the side yard.
No, I'm a big, I think that people should leave their dandelions growing. I think you should leave the leaves in your yard in the fall because it's really good for the ecosystem.
And not rake them?
There's so many chores that you can get away with not
doing. I am all for that too. If I don't have to rake leaves,
I
should
not mow the lawn either. I mean, you really shouldn't, right?
We really shouldn't.
Just let it go.
I mean, Kate, tell me.
You could grow wildflowers.
We could get goats and they could eat the grass.
Yes.
And we could get pesticide-free wildflowers.
And then we could eat the goats.
And we could... No.
No, wait a minute.
Oh,
sorry.
It's a circle of life.
No.
Sorry. No. You had me at goats.
No, Aaron.
Okay, fine.
We're not eating the goats.
Yeah.
Two things. One... Well, as you're talking to children mm-hmm. and educating them, have you seen any children step up and want to do what you're doing?
Yeah, a couple examples come to mind. When I was talking to a group of middle schoolers, kids get excited, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We
oh
get gosh, up at yeah. the beginning and I say, like, tell me how you're feeling. And I say, okay, now... Tell me how you're feeling, but just dance it to me because that's how bees communicate, right?
Oh, wow.
As they dance
oh, that's fun, yeah.
at each other mm-hmm. Instead of speaking. And so right away we get into the goofy stuff. But I was talking to a group of middle schoolers, and I think I was talking about the systemic pesticides and how companies are putting pesticides in the seed
right.
and explaining that to them. And one young man in particular, I could see his fist start to ball up. And oh. at the end of the explanation, he slammed his fist on the table. And he almost had tears in his eyes.
Right.
He was so
oh.
emotional. And so just seeing that kind of reaction, what is so different from like, yay, bees, I love bees. You know, I love that reaction as
right.
well.
Right.
But that's the type of emotion that makes you want to change the world, right?
Right.
And so
yeah.
seeing that in young people has been probably the most exciting part of this entire project to me. And there are a few young men and women who are keeping bees at home. They
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah,
the other,
not
other
one,
part of the question.
But there, yes, good
there
for
are,
them.
And it, the parents are definitely involved. But it's
yeah.
it's yeah, I've seen that a lot more. That it's become kind of a family project mm. in the. This is how we help the environment and the world is
That's
we
really
keep
cool.
bees in our backyard.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. In fact, and just from a story in our family, my wife's father actually did that very same mm-hmm. thing. And he had, now you got to bear with me. Yeah, he had the hives there, but there's mm-hmm. a particular practice. I mean, what's the overall practice of beekeeping called?
I mean, there are a couple different types of hives. So there mm-hmm. are the ones that look like filing cabinets.
Right, right,
those
right,
are
right.
Langstroth hives. There is another type called a top bar hive that's long
mm-hmm.
and it's more natural because the bars that go across the top,
right.
you let the bees just do their own thing. They make their own wax in any shape that they would naturally.
Got it.
So it's a little less, I'm a beekeeper managing the hive
mm-hmm.
and more these bees live here and they're doing their own thing.
Very cool.
So yeah, it may have been something more like that.
Yep. He had the entire suit, the entire mm-hmm. the netted hat. Now you brought some tools over, right?
Oh,
you,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Show us these real quick
show
before.
Us the tools.
I'll show you. These are a couple of these are. Oh wow, there are seeds stuck to the bottom. It's like milkweed stuck to the bottom of my smoker. This is a bee smoker.
A bee smoker.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
It makes them docile, right?
It does. And the way it works is maybe not what you would think. The smoke doesn't cloud their GPS or their signals. It doesn't make them sleepy. That's
mm-hmm.
another thing that I've heard a lot. What happens is smoke triggers an instinct in the bees that makes them think that their home is on fire, right? It kind of
oh,
sounds cruel
that
when,
does
you think,
sound
when you say
kind
it that
of
way.
Mean.
It's a trick that we play on the bees that makes the outcome is good for everybody.
Right.
So
okay.
when bees sting, they die. We don't want that to happen. I don't want to get stung either, so
right.
I use the smoker. So the smoker makes them think, oh, crap, we need to pack up our bags and leave the hive
mm-hmm.
pretty soon for them. For, you know, 30,000, 40,000 bees in a hive to coordinate that.
Wow.
Yeah. Or more. A hive that size is probably close to 40, 50,000 bees.
Oh, my Lord.
And you're just in there.
They're
kind of creeping you out there, isn't
it's
it?
It's kind of freaking me out.
Most of them are busy. They're all busy.
Mm-hmm.
They're either foraging for nectar to bring back to the hive, or they're busy raising baby bees in there. So nobody's paying attention to me. But they think that they need to get ready to leave. And to do that, what they try to do is gorge themselves on honey. So they eat as much honey as they possibly can, because finding a new home might take them a few days.
Wow.
They need their energy.
Mm-hmm.
when you eat a big meal, what happens? You get really sleepy. So they get just kind of content and also distracted. And that's what makes it easy for me to get inside the hive then.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is they think their house is on fire. Mm-hmm. They eat as much food as they can get out of the pantry.
And then they go, woof.
And then they just lay down and get on the couch. Kind of. All the while their home's burning.
Their house is on fire.
They slow down a little bit. I know. Bees are funny. In a lot of ways, their society seems so advanced. And then there are other things that just evolution didn't take care of. For example, bees drink water, right? Just like we do. And one of the things you can do to help bees in your own backyard is to put out a dish of water for them to drink from.
Like,
however, if they dive, they'll dive right into the water and drown. Instead, what you can do is
silly bees.
You can float wine corks or put stones in the water so they have a place to land, a little log to
sit
on.
Little tiny life preservers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little boats. Little bee boats.
Bee boats.
So there are some quirky things about bees. Yes, they will slow down because they gorge themselves thinking their house is on fire. But again, it could take a few days for them just to coordinate leaving their home because it's like playing telephone with 30,000 bees.
Right.
Wow. So in the 15 minutes that I'm in the hive, they go back about their business pretty quickly after that. It does set them back maybe a day, though. So that's, I have to be very conscious about getting into the beehive because.
So can you kind of tell when they're like in action, when they're doing stuff? Well, I mean, they're always doing things, but if they're like in a process of creating a whole bunch of honey or something like that.
Yeah, they're always doing something.
I sound really, I should stop, okay?
They are never not. The researchers do think that bees take tiny naps throughout the day, but
as
they
do
don't
they take
sleep,
some Z's, right?
But they don't sleep Beezies? Like animals.
Beezies.
I'm gonna stop.
Ah.
I also have this. This is a hive tool. And again, these are used a lot, so they are dirty. And this stuff that is all over my hive tool, and this is sharp here and here. I can like pry things open, use this like this and pry those frames out of the hive because the bees will seal everything together. And they seal it together with this orangey sticky stuff called propolis.
Okay.
And propolis is bees will go collect tree resin and come back to the hive and process it. And it's like super glue. It really sticks everything together. So they seal every little crack in the hive. They seal the lid to the hive. So that's why I need to use this like a crowbar to get into the hive. Oh, I can't do it with my arm strength. I have to use this tool.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really out of luck if I lose it, which is why it's red. So if it falls in the grass, I can find it again.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I bet that's the second one that you've owned, right?
I have two, and I haven't lost them. I haven't lost either one yet.
Not yet.
That seems to be a learned behavior right there after losing the first one.
No, someone else learned it.
Somebody else
and
learned the hard way.
They sell them this way so you don't lose it. So those are the main tools aside from the bee suit that I also wear.
Excellent.
And that's about it. I do have to conjure up some stuff to put in the bee smoker to usually.
My mind
usually,
is just
I know
like
where
going.
You're going with that.
Yeah, I don't.
I got so many jokes there.
I have so many thoughts, so many things. Yeah.
You know.
I'm just talking about, you know, your stuff in your face from the fridge.
They're chilling.
Chilling on the couch.
They're chilling.
What could be in that smoke?
What could be in there to make them want to gorge themselves stupid?
I never thought of it that way.
And go lay down and take a nap.
Exactly.
I mean, they're having more fun than we are.
It's true. You know, I treat my bees right.
I know you do. I got it.
Wow.
No, but stuff. When I put things in here, I don't want to harm them in any way.
No.
So I put like pine needles
super safe.
And
yeah.
leaves and things so that it's not burning too hot in their faces. And
that would be bad.
That wouldn't be good either. Nuvos are, it's a fun fact. Nuvos are made from soy ink and recycled paper, and they make great fodder for my bee smoker.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nuvo.
Plug out to Nuvo.
Appreciate it.
After you read it.
Yeah.
There's a caveat there.
I used to work for Nuvo, so they're in my heart.
I only read the horoscopes, and then I'm done with them pretty much. unless it's the dig-in issue, and then I flip through. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, how can we help you? Yes. Obviously, we're huge fans of what you can do and what you're teaching the kids.
So interesting.
It really is.
It really is interesting.
And, I mean, you really want to implore more people to get passionate about mm-hmm. nature and be able to find, you know, their spirit animal. I think you found it, right?
Yes, yeah. Yours is definitely nailed, for sure.
So how can we help you?
How can we help you?
Well, you know, I think for me, I figured out over the past 5 years that I could have just a typical beekeeping business, right, where I harvest and sell mm-hmm. the honey. I decided not to do that. So I sort of put myself in a weird position where I don't necessarily have a product to sell. And then right. I realized, well, the product's kind of me going out and doing right. speaking engagements. So that's... For me, that's what I'm always trying to do more of is mm-hmm. facilitate some relationships where I can get up in front of as many people as mm-hmm. possible and deliver my message, but also keep the project sustainable. So those partnerships, and again, I would love to put a beehive in the weirdest, most public place you could think of.
Right. I mean, I'm trying to think of someplace else.
So,
I
don't know if you'd be prepared for this, but if a corporation wanted to sponsor, what would it cost to actually get a beehive? And obviously, this is maintenance of it as well. What does it look like from a corporate donation?
So,
obviously, you got to find the location.
Yeah,
right.
It definitely depends, I think. But so for all the materials and the maintenance of a beehive, it runs about $800 to $1,000, mm-hmm. also including some educational aspects mm-hmm. in there as well. I would love to not only speak to, like, have some opportunities to speak to the public, but right. to speak to an organization like a Cummins or
right.
some place where you wouldn't normally think that you're going to get talked to by some weird girl that likes bees. You know what I mean?
Engineers.
Yep.
Like somebody,
exactly.
Okay. Well, you can certainly check out everything over at beepublic.com. Mm-hmm. That's BEE, obviously. Public.com. on Facebook?
Yeah. Facebook, Instagram, Beepublic Indy on Instagram, mm-hmm. Beepublic Project on Facebook, but you'll find me on there, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. All of the things.
All of the things. Yeah.
All the things be, and you can also donate via PayPal at the email bepublicproject@gmail.com, right?
Yep.
And I mean, we certainly we're going to give all the links in our show notes, and I mean, we would really challenge some of the corporations that are listening today, and on top of that, seeing this video, I mean, there is an absolute necessity to get education out, but on top of that, be able to choose local and be able to provide a focus and donations to Indianapolis innovators that are trying to advocate for nature. So,
and for food.
Absolutely. I mean, did you realize a third of the product that we eat is mm-hmm. from pollination? I mean, you don't know this until you have this kind of ringing your bell, right. And you have to care.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You have to be conscious.
Oh, she got it in. Yeah. She won.
I win.
So is there anything else that you want to share?
I will be at the Earth Day Indiana Festival this cool. year in lieu of sitting behind a table, which I do like to do. I get to talk to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think right. I'm going to do something a little different this year. So if you're going to attend the
carry
festival.
Carry some bees on your back?
Just no. A backpack full of bees.
Freak some people out.
Try not to freak people out. No, I think it'll be fun. We're going to do something a little bit different this year. So cool. If you're going to attend, maybe.
When is that?
That's on April 22nd. It's a Saturday.
Okay.
It's coming up soon.
That's your birthday.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Mr. D's.
Yep.
Because
absolutely.
It's also Record Store Day.
It is Record
I
Store Day.
I did not
day.
Know that.
Yes. That
it's
is
a
true.
Big day.
It is a big day.
They still have record stores?
Stop, Aaron.
I think I know who to get on here for your next guest.
I'm thinking so.
I think so, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Right. Oh, well, thanks so much for spending time and being on the show.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm done.
It's been a lot of fun, though.
Really appreciate it. And kudos to you for finding your passion and really, I mean, Not many people do that. Not people lock on to something and want to be able to share it with the world. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're more than welcome.
Thank you.
So we're going to share everything. Go share on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Sharing is caring, right?
Sharing is caring.
And for corporations, invest, you know, not invest, but give some donations, care, and show you care by sponsoring a beehive. And
that would be cool. Sponsor a beehive.
Absolutely.
Like it.
Yep. I dig it. All right. Well, thanks so much, Kate. Yeah. And we'll be watching from afar.
We'll be watching.
Kind of lends itself there, doesn't it?
It does.
All right.
Probably not quite as much as we do, though, all the time.
All right. So coming up, we're going to be talking to Humane Society of Indianapolis, as well as Your Image Works, about a very important incident that happened here recently and how we can help this organization. So
Chihuahuas.
Some Chihuahuas are coming up right after this. Okay, welcome back. Hey, thanks for sticking around for the show. We're certainly trying to make the show more dynamic with a number of stories here. And this story in particular is something that we wanted to bring to your attention and all the social media, Facebook stream, live stream watchers. We implore you right now to go ahead and share to your tribe, because this is very, very important. There was an incident here in southern Indiana, I won't do it justice. I'm going to turn it over to some of the players of this story, but we literally have 23 Chihuahuas that were discovered in a hoarder environment in southern Indiana, and we wanted to let you know about this and what you can do about it. So I'm going to introduce a number of people here in the studio. We've got Hannah Geer of, is it Geer?
Geary
of Donor Relation Manager of the Humane Society of Indianapolis. And from Your Image Works, we have Courtney Bills, Business Development, and Sean Quick Reflick, Senior Account Executive of the very same Your Image Works. Ladies, thank you for joining us today.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So, you're more than welcome, and thanks for hanging on. We certainly enjoy the multiple segment shows, but we really wanted to focus on this in the second segment here. Okay, tell me about this issue here. 23 Chihuahuas were found.
Right, that's correct. So, actually, on March 3rd, the Humane Society of Indianapolis pulled 23 Chihuahuas from a shelter in southern Indiana that didn't feel they had the resources to handle so many animals coming in all at one time. Mm-hmm. And so that was March 3rd was a Friday. And we started putting together this campaign on Monday. Mm-hmm. None of these Chihuahuas had had really even the basic medical care. So no one was spayed or neutered. Nobody had records of vaccinations, including rabies vaccine.
So it was a backup. Where were they found?
They were actually surrendered.
Okay.
All at one Thank time God. from one household. So
all of them was surrendered from one place at one time.
Absolutely.
Oh my Lord.
23. Wow.
So, you know, and unfortunately, when no one is spayed or neutered, there's consequences for that.
Yeah, that kind of happens, doesn't it?
And the vaccinations and basic medical care are terribly important. Mm-hmm. So we knew immediately that all of these dogs were going to need the basics.
Right.
And on top of that, heartworm testing, flea and tick prevention, heartworm prevention. We had several dogs that had some skin issues.
Oh boy.
And one dog did come back heartworm positive. So that's going to need treatment. And we had another dog that had previously broken a leg and it had not healed correctly. And so that leg then did have to be amputated.
Oh.
No.
Man.
So terrible.
Yeah, really,
she's
really
a fighter.
That's
she's
good.
She's a little tripod now.
Aww.
And who doesn't love a tripod?
Right.
Right. We have several in here. So I look around.
This is the perfect place for a tripod chihuahua.
Tripod dog.
There you go, Aaron.
Mascot.
It needs to be adopted.
So what was their temperament?
See, I flipped back.
were they terrified whenever they got to Humane Society?
They actually, they're all very sociable with humans and with other dogs, of course, but completely unaware of what to do with a leash. So you put the leash on.
That's how my dog is now.
Yep. Nothing happens. So everybody likes to be carried everywhere. So if you can just imagine a parade of Indie Humane employees with one chihuahua under each arm.
Maybe a bandolier of chihuahuas.
Right.
Economy of scale.
Look at that little one. That's so cute.
Oh,
yeah.
So cute.
So photogenic.
Wow. Now, I got to ask, so I mean, since they were surrendered, obviously, the owner did the right thing, but, I mean, there were some bad conditions for these dogs.
Is there any recourse for that?
Exactly.
That is ultimately up to the animal control for that county.
Right. Okay.
So that's something that, you know, every county's ordinances differ. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of within their purview and outside of our purview.
Got it. Well, we're pretty familiar with the Humane Society, and we love what you do. Tell us about how your image work came together and your partnership with them and how the whole plan came together.
Because it came together super quick.
It came together very quickly. So we started our fundraising on the 8th of March, which is a Wednesday.
Okay.
And on Thursday afternoon, just before I was getting ready to leave, shutting down the computer, my phone rang. And I assume everybody understands that when you're getting ready to leave, you look at the phone and you go, I don't know. So,
but she answered.
Is that a terrible thing to say live?
No, I think that all the time.
It could be worse if you were actually scanning the caller ID.
Sure.
And so you didn't know who it was. That's one thing.
I did think about letting it go, and then I thought, okay, this is, you know, I'm going to pick up this call.
Right.
It might be for the Chihuahuas. And it was for the Chihuahuas. And I picked up and Sean says, oh, hi, I'm Sean. And then I'm pretty sure everything else after that was a blur for me.
Right.
Yeah. I said I'm a Chihuahua mama because I am the proud parent of a 9-year-old. He'll be 9 in May. His name is Brewster.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm a Chihuahua mama. And I just found out about everything that's going on in social media. And we want to help. And so basically I said, you know, have you thought about doing a t-shirt fundraiser?
And Sean basically said, this is how it's going to work.
Right.
Let me just tell you how this is going to go down.
You've known Sean
for a while, haven't you? I've known Sean for a very long time. Yes.
I said, you know, we talked about doing a t-shirt, but that's the kind of thing that generally takes planning.
Right.
And we didn't plan on having 23 Chihuahuas. And so...
No one ever does.
Right. Who plans on having 23 Chihuahuas?
I mean, the odds.
Right. So she said, well, we don't need that much time. Are you free tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, yeah.
I picked my jaw up off the floor and I said, I'm free tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So they came in at 9:30 on Friday. And we sat down and I explained to them how our company works. We have a division of our company called YIW Cares, Your Image Work Cares.
Okay.
And it's a fundraiser site that we can work with nonprofits or companies. And you can have company stores up for a certain amount of time. You can have goals, like we have the donate button on our goal.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can do them for team fundraisers, family reunions, or even your company if you wanted to hold a company store.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing is it's no cost to the Humane Society at all. We do, we pick out the apparel, and we worked with the design with artists from the Indy Humane.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our brand and content manager, Brittany King, actually drew this Chihuahua on the shirts. Mm-hmm. And
That's
Your
great.
Image Works.
Seriously.
Took the, yeah.
Just like
Isn't that.
That
great?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Amazing.
Between Friday and Monday.
and the site went live Monday.
And the site went live on Monday.
So we sold our first t-shirts and got our first donation on Monday.
Yeah, it was very, very quick. And unfortunately, time really was of the essence in this case, as is so often the case with medical needs animals.
Absolutely.
So it was really great timing. And just if Sean hadn't been watching our social media... something that might have passed by as an opportunity. So
yeah, so I follow Indy Humane personally and on my business page when I do my social media for Your Image Works, and it just tugged at me. I mean, I am a Chihuahua mama, and literally, I think I saw the post.
You have a bumper sticker for that, don't you?
I know.
And she should.
I said to Courtney, I said, I'm just going to call, and it happened. Like within a few minutes, we had an appointment.
And she walks in and she says, they'll be here tomorrow morning. And Kim, which is another coworker of ours, she has a Chihuahua as well. She's like, I'm going to need you to bring Pomchi in tomorrow and have her dressed because we've got a meeting at 9:15 with Indy Humane. And it was that fast. And we have an excellent graphic designer in-house. And so he was able to then take the art that was drawn up recreate it so that it's ready for t-shirt printing and things like that. And he was the one that threw together the site for them, and he does all of our pop-up stores and our fundraiser stores and stuff like that. And so having him on staff was what was able to make it happen so quickly, on top of Sean's quick response to the needs to the
quick.
Humane Society.
Yeah. We have all kinds of puns.
I never thought
quick.
About that.
She's quick.
So you designed the shirt, you got the shirt, and you got multiple colors, and I mean, basically, your entire organization, you have this platform ready to help any fundraising need. And yep. It's no cost for the organization. And you have the apparel, you have the connections to be able to move things quickly, right?
Absolutely. We can have the site up for as long or as little of a time as you want it. And that was the thing we discussed, is we knew we wanted to have it up 2 weeks. Then we discussed, let's leave it up a whole month. Mm-hmm. And so it's live through April 15th. All the shirts will then be printed. This was a pre-run we did to show the shirt here. Mm-hmm. Then all the shirts will be printed, and then they will be divided and then delivered at the Indy Humane for people that wanted to ship. That we've had orders out of state.
Fantastic.
Really? It's really gone with social media. So those will be shipped. There is a fee to ship out of state, but the pickups at Indy Humane are free, and then we divide them up and help Indy Humane organize for pickup.
Who did the hashtag?
They came up with the hashtag.
I like the hashtag.
They had it before.
Let's say cheese.
There was no shortage of puns.
Oh,
very
yeah.
cute. Yes.
Well, and that's what was so exciting for me, is like, they've created this whole campaign. They have to have apparel.
Right.
And so it just happened, and it was amazing. And we're just really happy to see our community step up. Indianapolis, for those of you that don't know, they did reach their $10,000 goal last night.
As of last evening, we released our post that we reached our $10,000 goal.
Fantastic.
That's amazing.
And it's the statistics on it, I think, are remarkable. We've raised that amount of money in 2 weeks. And
what an incredible case study.
That's crazy.
We've had close to 200 individual donations, which means it's really collectively a community effort, coming together to say, I care about what happens to these animals, and I want to make sure that they have a better life now than they've had before. Mm-hmm. So,
and they had never done a medical ass campaign before, so this was new for them.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
the news outlets rallied, Indy Star rallied, we appreciate this, anything that we can do. But we still need to sell shirts and raise more money, because there are more animals.
Right. So if I can just tell you a little bit about medical sponsorship at Indy Humane. Obviously, the number of animals that we get in varies from day to day, and their needs vary individually with the animal. Some animals need spay-neuter vaccines, and they're ready to go up for adoption.
Right.
And we get other animals that come in who are heartworm positive, or who have a broken limb, or they have a torn cruciate ligament, or things like that. And those animals need medical sponsorship. So every Friday, usually, if you're following our Facebook, we post a medical sponsorship animal in need, a particular one, and ask for the community's help. We've had some large cases in the back of my time at Indy Humane. And they include a dog with heart disease, not heartworms, but a heart condition, and a dog that was thrown from an overpass.
Ugh, it's so heartbreaking.
So the medical sponsorship response from the community is what allows us to continue taking really difficult cases and treating at the highest level of care.
Right.
And so any excess from t-shirt sales, from things like that, is going to continue to go to medical sponsorship animals. Animals who need dentals, animals who need additional lab work, or just who maybe need some behavioral assessment. We have an excellent behavior and medical team, and we've worked with animals who have fear issues, aggression issues, things like that, and really evaluating their behavior, finding good environments for them.
Okay.
Barking problems? You guys got a barking?
I'm sorry. I hear that
whisperer.
You might have a barking problem at your house.
I do.
Are you looking to trade out?
No.
Okay.
No.
We do for a tripod? Have canine behavioralists.
We have a tripod available.
I'm going to have to look at the tripod.
So, you know, definitely it's an ongoing need. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to say that in a way that's discouraging to people, but it's the reality is that we're always going to have a need for medical sponsorship.
Right.
That's why we didn't want people to think they reached their goal. Oh, good, we're done.
Right.
We're not done.
Well, that's the thing is that you tapped into something here, is that it was, I mean, there was a convergence happening. You had the platform to be able to deliver this quickly. There was an emergent need, but there was already a subtext. There was already a questioning of how do we get this paid attention to regularly, and how do we get awareness of the regular medical needs and sponsorships, right?
Absolutely.
So out of this it's emerged an opportunity, right? So we want to make sure that everybody understands that this is not just a singular event. No. This is something that the Indy Humane Society needs regular attention to. So I got a question for you here, and I'm thinking on the fly.
Sure.
But the Say Cheese hashtag, right? It should certainly cross over, you know, different types of animals. I mean, this should be something that you're moving regularly in front of people. But at the same time, can you provide access to the animals to be able to even elicit corporate sponsorship at a per animal basis? Can you bring attention to that animal and what that animal's needs are, and then be able to showcase this need? Because if we can actually connect to each and every animal and say, hey, this animal really needs this, and then put the pressure on even our listeners.
The pressure?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Asking for support.
Well.
I mean. Now, is that something that could be done with your Friday medical cases?
Spotlight.
Well, I'm doubling
it's
down here.
It's a dog's spotlight.
Is there anything that we could do on a weekly basis here to be able to showcase one of your animals?
I like the way you think, Aaron.
And be able to showcase this animal, this pet needs help, let alone adoption.
I think I've just walked into a fundraising opportunity.
I think you have. Well, I mean, this is, I mean, it,
right.
I mean, if we wanted to bring the animal here or have a video done and be
tripod
able to
will be here within minutes.
Oh my gosh. Wow. When
but I mean, is this something that could be done where we could ask of corporations, say, hey, you know, if you can't adopt this from a personal level, can you contribute sponsorship dollars to be able to help this singular animal out?
I think that's a great idea. And just so you know, we do have, not everyone wants to wear the shirt, even though it's adorable. We do have a donate button.
Right.
We've gotten over $350 in donations that are not the t-shirt.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So through the 15th, until we can possibly get this figured out, they can definitely donate on the link for the t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a great opportunity.
Yes. Aaron will hold the dog.
Yes.
And do the show.
Really?
Yes, because it was your idea.
It was interesting. I wasn't really there.
Oh.
Yeah. I was thinking more of we could run a video, but yeah, we could bring the dog in here.
We can bring
could
the dog.
Get
and the dog
tiny
can
headphones
sit.
For the dog.
The dog can
yes.
sit right
there.
The dog could sit right there.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Have we thought this
one through?
It was
your idea, Aaron.
You said, I'm just cutting. I'm looking around going, okay. Well, I got
honestly,
an idea
I think
too.
This is something, and, you know, as immediate and quickly and agilely as agilely.
Each dog gets their own online store.
Right.
Sorry to the owner that I just did that.
I mean, we want to be agile. We certainly represent agility here.
But there is
a
way you could with corporate sponsors.
Absolutely.
And you could set up we could set up virtually what we're doing right now for the community, but for a company.
Right.
And if a company wants to go ahead and sponsor an animal per week.
Right.
There's things that we can do to assist in accepting donations on top of just an on one corporate
See,
donation
and
made
that,
in time.
And
as
that's
well.
My point. Is that in fact we're doing that over at Such a Teaks from a type of relationship to nonprofit organizations. We're mm-hmm. actually putting together a kind of a fragile agile marketing methodology where donors can actually pick a type of tactic that we're running mm-hmm. for that client, so that somebody mm-hmm. can actually grab a hold of the paid per click campaign that we're running, right? So it kind of goes into some of what I've already been discussing with
right.
the firm. But if we could actually granularize this and make that company provide the opportunity to see exactly who they're affecting,
yes.
mm-hmm. you know, and you give a name to that. We are not literally not going to force people to donate. We're going to really show who where those
Kate,
dollars go.
Kate is going to show up with her little tool from the bee thing, and she is going to break some legs.
I'm saying.
She said it was like a little crowbar.
Hey,
but
between the bees and the chihuahuas, we will come after you.
We're taking Indianapolis by storm.
Absolutely.
You're going to get stung or...
Bit on the ankle.
Yes. Yeah.
No. So
the
so
opinions in this podcast are not.
we had to have a disclaimer someplace. Oh, my goodness. So is that something that we could do?
I think we should definitely look into that.
Fantastic. Yeah. We're doing this on our weekly show, and it ties into your Friday, and we can get that segment even piped over so you can utilize it for your Friday broadcast. How about that?
Sounds like fun.
Fantastic. All right.
She's like, wow, what happened?
Yeah.
It's all happening.
And I know.
this seems to be what happens every time I talk to Sean. Just...
Let us tell you
happens.
How it's going to work.
I don't know. Yes. yeah.
Hannah, we got
it's
this.
Ideas.
We got
yes, apparently right. so.
We're just sharing ideas.
Medical sponsorship at Indy Humane, yeah. now run by...
No, stop.
Sponsored by...
Just kidding.
So,
just kidding.
To the point of the chihuahuas, I mean, have any of the chihuahuas been adopted?
Yes. So we've been releasing chihuahuas for adoption as they've been medically cleared.
Excellent.
It varies on the day. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 4 at a time. 18 so far have been adopted.
Wow.
The response from the community, in addition to the donations, has been really welcoming chihuahuas with open arms, caring about them, saying, I have room in my home. I have right. room in my heart. I can give these guys a good home. And
they don't take up that much space, guys.
It's,
I mean, come on.
It's true.
And it's been such a labor of love. I think that's what we really want to focus too, is that, you know, $10,000 raised in 2 weeks.
Yes.
With that does not include our t-shirts.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and it's just amazing. And, you know, I just really want to thank the Indianapolis community for caring.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, that is what I love about this city. I mean, we seriously can get our stuff together quick.
That's right.
And we can get it done right. And, you know, the results are phenomenal. I think about, well, you know.
And the
you
power
guys,
of social media.
Power of social media.
I mean,
media.
They posted it. I saw it.
Yep.
I reacted. And here we are.
And can I just say, too, how incredibly important those donations are. To Indy Humane as a privately funded mm-hmm. nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So we're not getting Humane Society of the United States funds or things like that. So
right.
it's grants and private donations are our primary way of covering our overhead, helping out all the animals. So really the fact that the community comes together and does something like this that supports, you know, the Humane Society of Indianapolis, the Chihuahuas, you know, from a big scale to a little scale, it's incredible.
Absolutely.
It's really incredible.
And so the way everyone can help is to buy some apparel.
Mm-hmm.
We have the shirts,
the t-shirts
in two colors. This is a Heather purple and a Heather gray.
Yes.
We have them in youth sizes small through adult 4X. So
there
we can outfit anyone. Mm-hmm. They make great gifts.
Yes.
The whole family can be decked out in them. I mm-hmm. think we should do a social media campaign. Once the shirts are going to be, the campaign will close on the 15th. The shirts will be delivered 7 to 10 days after that.
Okay.
And then we need to show us your...
Close your cheese.
Show us your say cheese
yeah.
apparel.
Say cheese.
Yeah. Right.
I know that.
Hashtag, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Sean has sold absolutely. 2 shirts since we stepped in the studio, so...
Yeah, she started to sell them as soon as the staff started to
absolutely.
Talk. Yeah, I think I got a bill coming up here real quick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's actually, and you made a note to me, that is how smaller Indiana used to work.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It was really where we could each help each other out and know each other's skills.
Yes.
And be able to lift something beyond ourselves, and that's what we're wanting to see happen again. I mean, Indiana's big but small. And there's a lot of very skilled practitioners and professionals mm-hmm. that are looking for ways to give back to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is our way to be able to give back. But we certainly encourage so many others that we know of
yeah.
to be able to help lift not only this cause, but multiple causes that we're bringing to your attention all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So where do they go to find out more about this particular initiative?
Well, we have links listed on Indie Humane, mm-hmm. on all of our social media, on Your Image Works social media. Mm-hmm. It's a link that you just click, and then you can go shopping. There's also, as we said before, a donate button that if you don't want a T-shirt, but you can still donate
right.
to the cause.
Who doesn't want a T-shirt?
I'm sorry.
Well, some lovely listener has donated $200, and we were very excited.
Really?
Yes.
That's great.
So, you know, and every day, I mean, there's probably been more shirts sold since we started. When we left, it was up to 63.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
If you count the two she sold here.
Yeah.
65.
65.
I'm literally seeing the ticker going
the
on.
The staff order. What are there, about 15 here?
I'm looking at you, Tom.
Yep. Cameron will probably need one.
Exactly. See, let alone Matchbook Creative upstairs. They love dogs, so we're about to parade
about
upstairs.
Yeah, they right. do.
And it's going to be exciting once this is done and we're walking around, we're all seeing each other wearing these shirts, and it just shows that the love and support that everyone has for Indie Humane. Mm-hmm. And we're excited as a company to be able to provide this for them.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So if people want to go to IndieHumane.org,
right.
The link will be right there on the home screen. And it, you know, say cheese.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow on Twitter at IndieHumane.com, Instagram at IndieHumane.com. Facebook is also Indie Humane. On top of that, Your Image Works is Facebook, YI Works. Your Image Works on Twitter, Your Image Works on Instagram. Anything else that we can talk about or share and give you help on today?
I think the good work has already started. You know, it's
I like
been,
it.
It's been started for years through the Humane Society,
absolutely.
And this is just the next evolution of it. And I'm really excited to be a part of it and to see where it goes next. And I think that the Chihuahuas, in addition to us helping them,
right.
you know, animals bring such good things to our lives, too.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see what's in store for all of the new Chihuahua families out there,
mm-hmm.
who've
they gotta
found
post pictures
friend.
On your, you
absolutely.
Know, they gotta post pictures on social media.
Yes, if you adopted a Chihuahua,
yes, we
from
wanna
the Humane
see,
Society, we would love
we
to have that
see
shared
the pictures.
With us.
Yes,
absolutely.
Hashtag that thing and put it up on Instagram so we can see the doggies with their new families.
Absolutely. Well, time to wrap up, ladies. Thank you so much
thank
for the
you.
Time.
Thank you.
And
Your Image Works says thank you, too, to Indie Humane for allowing us to partner with you to do this.
It's amazing how you guys got it done.
And
been great.
Any other
organizations
that need fundraising skills, please,
absolutely.
You know, give us a call. It's Courtney and
ask for the red
and
head.
Sean.
And if you'd like to buy
she
a t-shirt to test out the products before you... You know.
Okay. All right. You're twisting my arm. We'll get shirts for the team.
Yay!
All
right. Yay! Thank
fantastic.
You, Aaron.
Yeah. See, that was the pressure
that
right there.
That was the
sorry.
Pressure.
And we certainly will be talking to a few of our colleagues in marketing in Indianapolis because guess what? I think you need to get a few too. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So I think that's a wrap. We're going to have all the show notes and Sean's show commentary sure. on Edge of the Web as well as Edge of the Indie. Oh my gosh. I keep on tripping over that, don't I? Edge of the Web is our is a digital marketing show. Edge of Indie is where you choose local and you choose often. So go around, check out everything that we're doing on Edge of Indie and see all the show links because everybody that we have on here are great innovators inside of Indiana and Indianapolis. So we'll talk to you next time. Be sure to choose local. Bye-bye.
Bye.